private time is off, questions and answers. We need also time to questions and answers.
And life is basically questions and answers. Prabhupada said the bird is similar to food, what is the worm, what is the worm? Businessman is the same word as money, what is money? Someone the same words. This kind of sense gratification, that kind, where is safety, where is protection, where is danger. So Narada is asking proper questions. Sukadeva is getting questions from Yudhisthira and saying, you know, these are relevant because they're about Krishna. So such questions are beneficial for everyone. So we want to learn these kind of questions. Amongst devotees, make this kind of inquiries. We'll go back over the questions. He says, tell me that transcendental knowledge specifically redirects me to the truth of the individual and the super soul. That's what Krishna tells Arjuna, the Bhagavad Gita is about the relationship of the soul and the super soul. Right? This is transcendental knowledge. Then, and that's what we learned from Govinda Ji, Sambandha Abhideya. You connect with Krishna somehow or other, then find out what your relationship is. What is that relationship with service? And then the specific service, that's different because everyone's individual. Not all one, but if it is the one thing, it is service. The Jivara Swarupoi Nichari Krishna Das. So for every, the Jiva is eternal position, is, you know, Siddha Day or whatever they call it, is service. Service to the Supreme Lord. And it's voluntary, submissive. Because Krishna does not force one. If we don't want to serve Krishna, we have to serve Krishna anyway, indirectly. We can serve the material energy and try to enjoy it and suffer and enjoy it along the way. Next question. Describe factually the symptoms of the manifest world. What is its background? How is it created? How is it conserved? And under whose control is all this being done? A lot of questions there. That's what the Bhagavatam covers, all these things. At one point, Narada was thinking, you know, that Brahma was the supreme, and then he was confused because he saw Brahma and was meditating doing tapasya. But he was intelligent to understand, well, there must be someone superior than him. Krishna, there's no one superior. Everyone else has to get whatever power they have from Krishna. Brahma has all this great power, but it's only given to him by Krishna. It's all, you know, inside his existence, and then it just comes out. And he knows that, so he's explaining this right now. Then, my dear father, all this is known to you scientifically because whatever is created in the past, whatever will be created in the future, and whatever is being created at present, as well as everything within the universe, is within your grip. It's like a walnut. We have walnuts about this big. Brahma, literally, he's not that big in that he's just holding the universe in his hand. But this means that he has control over it. It's all created by him. There was one song that was, I remember when I was very young, and it was a popular song, but it was a religious song. He's got the whole world in his hand. The whole world in his hand. You know, talking about God. Of course, I came out of the airport once in Jakarta. They had a big billboard for Master Charge. And it said, hold the world in your hand. And it had a picture of the earth and a big hand. If you have the Master Guard, then you have absolute control over everything. And people believe that. They're very clever in these demons to take a spirit, you know, like a definition of God, and try to tell you that you can be that. You know, all you have to do is have this, whatever it is, you know, you can enjoy it. You can be the controller. Everything will go your way. That's not the case, but Maya is always, and everyone becomes convinced, and they just keep trying. No matter how many times they fail, they try again. Maya says, if that's okay, next time, law of attraction. You can get rich just by thinking about it. Of course, there's something to that. You can become Krishna conscious just by thinking about it. The material gain may or may not come because there's conscious effect. So this is what they don't know. That's why it doesn't work for everybody. Somebody, you know, many people get rich by lecturing about how you can get rich. Writing books about how you can be the controller of your destiny and you can make whatever you want happen. And they get, you know, many people pay big money. But very few people get that result. Krishna consciousness, if you apply the process, you definitely get it. Although it may not come like instantly, you know, like some people want some utsahan, nishchaya, dharya, enthusiasm is first. I saw an article in the word enthusiasm, somebody looked in an old dictionary. So it comes from a Greek word, and it means to, you know, be empowered by God or something, originally. Enthused comes from en, theos. Theos in Greek means God. And en means within. God is within you. That's the original meaning. But Rupa Goswami mentions it. It's very important, you know, that you have to be enthusiastic about whatever you're doing, or you're certainly not going to keep doing it. Not going to start doing it. So there has to be faith, there has to be something. And then there has to be determination, perseverance, because you don't get instant results. And there may be obstacles along the way. So many, there are definitely any endeavor, so many things are in your way. So one has to be able to hang in there. But then the most important thing is just what the lack of it is what stops many of his patients. Tolerance. Patience and tolerance are more or less, you know, in Japan it's the same word actually. But if we're not patient, you know, why isn't this happening? I've been chanting for, you know, a week now, and I still get sick, or I'm still in anxiety, or, you know, people still don't respect me. You know, like if you want any material results, you'll never get them from chanting. But even spiritual results, you know, many times we have some kind of misconception about what we're supposed to be giving us. And we want it quick. But patience, one has to hang in there, has to be tolerant of all the different, you know, troubles. And then we get the result. But you'll definitely get spiritual progress is not dependent on how well. It doesn't depend on what your background is or what your previous life was, like material progress does. Of course, you can make changes by living properly or improperly in our karma. It's just adjusting a previous karma. You can't, like, totally overcome it. Ayurvedic science, they know that sometimes kinds of sickness, they know, okay, this is not it, it's their karma, and there's nothing can be done except try to make their life, you know, a little more comfortable, try to help them accept the condition which can't cure it. All their diseases come from like instant karma, right? Okay, you ate too much, so you're sick, you take some medicine. Too close to someone with the swine flu or something. But that's all, you know, they just think they make such a business of it. Anxiety, you know, making people feel that worrying about the dangers of the natural world. But the real danger, which is falling in Krishna session, you know, the most dangerous, what is it? Another bird in a lower species. That's a real danger, any kind of bird, because it's dangerous. Especially in Kali Yuga, they take that bird. And the life is not very safe either. The womb is very dangerous. It's very dangerous. The womb is one of the most dangerous places. In some places, there's more abortions than births. Then the reactions is the worst sin is abortion and healthcare. But these things are being promoted, I think. It's a wonderful solution to the problem. In India, used to be, it wasn't that long ago, even when I was a devotee, you know, some foreign advisors would come to India and try to give them advice how to make their economy better. And they'd say, well, the whole problem is they don't kill the cows. The cows are wandering in the street and kill them. That's stupid. So therefore, everyone's starving, and they would tell them they should upgrade their slaughterhouses so they could export. And, you know, they would say how stupid Indians are to sacred cow. And still people think that's some idea. They don't know that India is number three beef exporter in the world. And I'm not sure if that includes all the live animals or not. Because I think the major export is live ones. The number one leather exporters increasing all the time. So, and still Indians are thinking, you know, mate, go mate. And there are Hindus that really take care of cows. 20,000 cows in Hanukkah. But 100,000 are being slaughtered. It's Kali Yuga. And that is, you know, made, it's the kind of sinful activities. Prabhupada said even the Indians are looking at America and they're seeing that America, it looked like so opulent. And they're killing cows for different people. It must not be that bad. But they don't know they're, you know, they're getting a reaction of previous pious activities. And they don't know what's underneath. America is especially suffering, but it's still, when you see the movies and stuff, you know, they use, they have 20% of the world's air pollution, 5% of the population. They use 50% of the cocaine, they have the most of every kind of cancer. Right. They have the most highest percentage of citizens in prison. You know, many, many things they're champion. And India is trying to compete against them. It's not a good idea. So we should be, these kind of questions, if we fix on them, then it's beneficial for everyone. Then he says, my dear father, who is your source of your knowledge? And this is because he saw that the Brahman is worshipping someone. He's meditating. So he can understand that he's getting it from somewhere. But he doesn't know, because all he knows is Brahma. He hasn't seen anything else. What is the source of your knowledge? Under whose protection are you standing? Who, under whom are you working? What is your real position? Do you alone create all the entities, the material elements, by your own personal energy? So it's a very good inquiry, very intelligent. You know, Prabhupada gives stories of, you know, a child in the beginning, and you think the father is all power. You don't know anything else. But then they may see the father is going to work. Sometimes, you know, different crazy things happen. And they find out that father is, you know, being abused by the boss. They want to know, and then they might go and find out the boss is also, you know, finally they get to Krishna. They get to the king, and then they find out the king is doing puja also. Temple. That's step by step. One can come in the later on in the, what is it, the ninth chapter, those main verses of the Bhagavatam, where, you know, one can come up to that point of understanding that nothing in the material world and nobody is ultimate. But to really find out what it is, then you can figure that out by Sankhya, by Niti Niti, not this, not that, not this. Finally come to the conclusion that there's something else. It might take billions of lifetimes to go over everything and every demigod. But by the mercy of the Lord, he can give the knowledge down. So then he says, just like a spider creates a network in his cobweb and manifests his power without being defeated by others, you also, by employment of your self-sufficient energy, create without anyone else's help. It looks like that. It was only Brahma. And he created, you know, the sons, the Manasa Putras, and then Narada was at the last one. And he, I guess, already created all the planets and everything. So, but he knows that there's somebody, where is he getting that help? Understanding must be coming from somewhere. And whatever we understand by the nomenclature, characteristics and features of a particular thing, superior, inferior, equal, eternal, or temporary, is not created from any other source other than you. You're so great. This is how we envision and thought it. I don't know, most of us probably had that idea about our father at some point in our life. And the father wants you to think that way. That's why most people go into the family life. They can have somebody who depends on them. Some people in business or anything. I went to one guy once in Fiji, and he had a sewing factory and about 100 sewing machines. And he was crying like anything. He said, I was very happy when I had only one and I was doing everything myself. Now every day so many girls don't come. You know, so many things are going wrong. He said, I don't have time to eat lunch about it. And I said, why don't you leave it? No, but I can't. All these people depend on me. Without me, they won't, their children will starve. All on me. So because he thought that, even so much anxiety, if he actually thought, I'm just a servant of Krishna and Krishna's maintaining everyone, you know, then he could peacefully do the same work. But if we can, then the bigger your business gets, or if your family gets, or whatever you're doing, if you think, even a devotee preacher, if he thinks it's all me, I'm doing everything, then you get him stressed out and go crazy. We understand that Krishna's doing everything, and he's just using me, and ready to be utilized and not to fight it, you know. And then the Prabhupada, he didn't get stressed out, although he would have more anxiety than anybody could imagine, more problems, bigger problems. He was also very bad health. And he didn't get stressed. I mean, even in the time of death, when the doctor said that the pain from the disease Prabhupada had, from the pain, it must be like on fire. But he never noticed. So he was completely spiritually conscious. These things are possible. We have a long ways to go. So do you want to know about everything? He thought that, you know, he just took it for granted that everything else in the universe, if like something was there, only came from Brahma. None of them had any other independent. So he understood that. But he wants to know who Brahma is. So we are moved to wonder about the existence of someone more powerful than you. When we think of your great austerities and perfect discipline, although you are so powerful in the matter of creation. So Brahma and Narada can understand it. It's like Prabhupada when, you know, when he first had a few followers and it was quite intimate, you know, everything was almost in one room. And devotees, you know, they naturally thought Prabhupada just knows everything. You know, but then they saw him doing his puja and arti. So they could understand, you know, how he's giving it from Krishna. How he was so regulated and dedicated to offering everything and doing everything every day. And, you know, they called it bells. Swamiji was doing bells. They didn't know anything. But they knew that he was getting it from something. Prabhupada, of course, taught everybody. He could have said, you know, I'm the supreme and I know everything. It's all coming from him. And nobody would argue that. They didn't do that. Like most Swamijis. I'm God. You are God. You just don't know it, but if you stick with me, I'll teach you. Stand. You're actually God. People like that. And then when they're frustrated at being God, then they want something else. So he's asking, so following in the footsteps, the purport of Narada, one should not blindly accept the spiritual master as God. That it happens everywhere. Because it is a fact, Sakshadhari, famous Master Shastra, that the spiritual master is to be worshipped is not different than that. And accepted as the same. But then he's not God. Like the Christians, not all Christians, many understand, but there's a large section of them that say Jesus is God. And they will not, you know, they cannot understand it. Because he did say, I'm the way and the truth and the life, the way of God. And if you know the Bible, like, maybe you don't, but he says so many times, you know, I'm not doing anything, I'm only speaking what the one who sent me is teaching. And, I'm the Son of God, my Father in heaven. No, but they still think, no. He's the creator. And then, but they don't follow anyway his instructions. There are many that understand he's the Son of God, he's the Supreme God, he's the Supreme God. And my buddies, sometimes a guru, maybe in the beginning he was a simple guy, but then all the disciples start saying, you are God, you are God, you are God. And he says, yeah, well, yeah. You understood now, very good. Or I'm not saying, but my followers are saying, what can I do? Right? They say like that. Oh, I'm not saying I'm God, but they are saying, I can't go against my disciples. And they've got some scripture that seems like it says that. So it requires the intelligence of discrimination, you know, to understand about Krishna. If that has to be there, and then the mercy has to be there. And when it's submissive and, you know, service attitude, then the mercy comes and Krishna gives a clear understanding. Just like when the sun comes up, then we can see everything very clearly. No matter how bright lights you have, you can't see everything so clearly. Some places it's brighter in the nighttime than the daytime. There's nothing to see except the lights. Las Vegas. But you know, you can't see trees or birds or anything. You only see the lights. People are fascinated by them. Like Brahmajyoti. So many lights. Go and throw away your money. So you're doing all these austerities, so who's more powerful than you? And then the verse today, you know everything and you are the controller, so may everything I've asked, can you please instruct me so I can understand? And of course, Brahma instructs him through these next chapters. Brahma learned it all in four verses through the heart. To the heart. And he's giving it to Narada in this chapter is chapter 5. Goes up to chapter 10. Bhagavatam is the answer to all questions. Because we have this volume is only chapter 6, a very big. And then the next chapter is also, it goes on and on to explain everything. And then he told Narada, you take this and you teach it. Narada was created for the purpose. After Brahma created the sages and different things, Prajapatis, but he thought, you need one person whose only business is to teach Bhakti. And then from that intelligent thinking, Narada can. He didn't have to, you know, go with his wife, pregnancy, and, you know, and raise a child, and, you know, he just, there he is, Narada Muni, in brilliantly inquiring and understanding everything right away. And then Narada is so elevated that, you know, he's able to go anywhere in the universe instantly and teach any type of person, kings, hunters, sages, you know, and inquire more. Like he also took shelter of Narayan Rishi and learned from them. And he's the main speaker of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Probably there's more of Narada Muni speaking than any other person. I never analyzed it. But certainly he's, right? He's preaching in the first channel. Preaching to, you know, King Prachini Parisha. He's preaching to Nanda Maharaj. He's preaching to Yudhisthira. Very long instructions, many chapters sometimes. Prahlad, like all the most important students of the Bhagavatam are students of Narada Muni, except for Parikshit Maharaj is hearing from Sukadeva. Sukadeva is just telling him what Narada Muni is. More than any other individual. So Prabhupada said they're all supposed to be followers of Narada. In the early days of ISKCON, Narada was like a very major personality. And the, you know, the picture of him and the Veena and just floating in the universe and the transcendental spaceman, because that was just at the time of astronauts and everything. So, you know, the transcendental spaceman, it was very fascinating. But we need to remember his teachings and his submissive attitude and intelligence. So we can also inquire these kind of questions and then purify the whole universe. These questions are beneficial for everyone because they're asking about the self and asking about Krishna. So from here, then Brahma starts preaching and just goes on and on and on, explaining all these things. Because details of how the universe is created, yes, Brahma gives. You won't find that in other scriptures, so much detail. Every scripture understands that God created everything. Although many people try to deny that, Mr. Godwin. This is the, 200th anniversary of his birth. Maybe it's the 100th, it's the 50th anniversary of his first proposal. The Back to Godhead, the latest issue is about that. There's exhibitions all over the world to glorify Brahma. Because, the people that are showing it, his theory doesn't even proper or more prominent. Even we went on Harinam in London, we were going around all the places that Prabhupada visited in London. So one is a place called Conway Hall. You might have seen it. It was one of the first like, really big public programs. Devotees and Prabhupada chanted, and so many people came. That was in the beginning of being in London. Many devotees probably joined from that. It was a few days. There's many pictures, famous pictures of Prabhupada sitting in a huge chair. Devotees all sitting around. So we went there, and the current thing was evolution, big sign. Evolution. So the fossils prove it. But they don't prove it. But they just say that. The devotees are preaching. Now, it's also the 500th anniversary of Lord Chaitanya Sannyas. And the 50th anniversary of Prabhupada Sannyas. So it's a big year. Many things are being done around the world by composting. Like the Yatra just in Mayapur, the subject of all the lectures was Lord Chaitanya Sannyas. The meaning of it, how it came about, the events. Very emotional thing. The Kumbh Mela, that will be the theme of our Kumbh Mela. Do you have that poster? Have you heard yet? Huh? How do you go?
Yes, sir.
Did they bring the poster that I asked them to bring? No, I told them I'd go get the poster. Nobody brought it? No. So busy feeding me. The last thing I said when we left to go get the poster. Anyway, Kumbh Mela. This year is some kind of amazing Kumbh Mela. It's like 3 months and a half long and hard work. So the devotees have made really amazing arrangements. But the poster doesn't show much actually. And neither does the webpage yet. They're making a, I don't know how 50 feet tall Lord Chaitanya. They have at the gate and a few other gigantic ones. They have every day, twice a day, Nanda Sankirtan, taking the big Murti of Lord Chaitanya. And then the deities also go up to the Padayatra, huge Murti. And then dioramas of Lord Chaitanya Sannyas, all that. So that's the main theme, dramas of Lord Chaitanya Sannyas. So they're calling for as many devotees as possible to come and facilities and some ashram, and also the higher class camps that people want to raise their early, you know, the Swiss cancer of the house. And they're going to be distributing 20,000 plates for Sodom for 3.5 months. Need help for all these things. Just to do Haridam or, you know, do the book table or serve the Sodom or whatever. That's what Kumbh Mela is for preaching. It's not just for taking a bath. You know. I was at one last time, I was out. And we were distributing this little 2 rupee book again. And, I was, you know, many books were going out. One guy said, well, I'll get it next time, like this could you take a bath. No, I can't do it. I'm all the way from Delhi. Just going to dip in and go. Because, you know, there's some time that I have to go at this time to benefit. You know. They don't know the real benefit, but Prabhupada went to preach, and then one of the big Kumbh Melas, there was a special super big one 2 years ago, and BBC came there, and there were other big famous people came there. The BBC said, we went all over the Kumbh Mela, and everything was boring, except the Hare Krishna. Because they had 100 money for dancers, you know, in the Harinam. And a huge party of chanting devotees behind that. And they thought that was nice. Everything was boring. You know, seeing some guy sitting like this, right? Or a padlock on his coat, you know, it's not really very exciting. Two things are interesting, like the girls that can dance with the pot without spilling anything, you know. But it's just circus stuff. You can find it in any circus, you can find crazy things. But the devotees with this incredible dancing, and all the colors, and the pull-up cart, and everything. Every day, they're going morning and evening, that's the dance. Everyone's invited to find some time. It goes from January 14th to April 28th. And so usually it's only 3 weeks. But this time it's working. And they're planning a Maha International Haridam. They have in March, some last part of March. They expect they want to have 5,000 devotees on this time. You know, 5,000 in a crowd of 20 million this time. But it does, people will know, and they will notice it. So, all these events, we go to the holy places to preach. We don't need to go anyplace else besides Mayapur and Vrindavan for spiritual uplift. But we go to preach and uplift the places then, because it becomes so degraded. It's making a business that people come in. Even in Vrindavan, that's happening more and more. The local people put a flower here, do their save this country, and they'll give the 100 rupees. That's not what we go to purify the kirtan, Krishna Katha, and hearing. You go to the holy place to hear from the same people there. So the Mela Prabhupada met even the last time, only a few months away from leaving his body, and his health is very bad. They went to Kumbh Mela because he said it's such a good food. So, that long period of time, if anybody's going to India, there's devotees that will help you make travel and get there, and, you know, book rooms or tents or whatever you need. Everything will be very nice for them. So try to maybe talk to them again. To help the preaching, because our, for the last Kumbh Mela, our area has been very, very popular, and so many people coming in. But there's something happening there. It's not just one guy just talking. You know, dramas and dioramas and, the previous year we were feeding about 6,000 or 7,000 people. This year we're around 20,000 every day. But it's full of life. And lying down. So in that way it's very purified. It's a part of the problem. And 500th anniversary of Chinese Sanya. That was a very significant event for the world. He took sannyas, and not to get, you know, to ride on the bus, not to be able to go banging and get something working, but to give Krishna to everyone, even those who were not receptive. In those days, everyone would respect the sannyasi at least pay obeisances. So if that then gives the Supreme Lord, they'll get that. Otherwise, they wouldn't, you know, they weren't respecting us. That's why they started thinking that the students, you know, were criticizing them and not understanding. And, you know, to make the devotees get his intimate associates, including his mother and his wife, but so many to feel this intense separation. You know, they couldn't tolerate the thought of it. So that even when he was telling everyone, I'm going to go take some yams, they just didn't want to believe it. You know, it would never happen. He won't really do that. And he died, he does. And that's how the worship of the Murti came about. And some of the devotees just said, how will that do? Well, he said, you can make a Murti, you can worship that. So then there are still a few Murtis around Navadvipa that were made before the dropping of that. They're still being worshipped, but then now this deity of Lord Chaitanya is extremely important in Kali Yuga. And the holy name is all the incarnations of in this age. And Krishna is appearing everywhere. Some people say, well, you know, why can we come? You value Dr. Dharmashyap on your Bhagavad Gita. There's certainly an increase in your religion. Why does he come? Where is he? Or some fear I am. The Bhagavad Gita said, whenever there's this, I come. You know, so this is there, right? And here I am. There's one Kalki avatar now. And I heard something that Jeff Rogers was explaining, like somebody questioned him, and he just went on and on. And he couldn't answer. You know, he talks peace and love. And, you know, now that he's here, it's not Kali Yuga anymore. Kalki is here. But then somebody pointed out that the Kalki doesn't appear for 420,000 years. So, well, then I'm something else, and then I'm this, and I'm that. But he has a big following. And Japan is very popular. Nobody cares about us. I'm not aware of it. You know, the hugging, 5,000 people wait all night. The Kalki avatar, you know, huge crowd. In Kali Yuga, Prabhupada quotes something, he said something in Hindi, but the way he translates is, if you cheat someone, they're very happy. And if you tell them the truth, they beat you with sticks. So, we want to give the truth to everybody. We're not cheating anyone. We want to give them the truth. We don't promise any kind of material jhanvana, aishwarya, shruti, shruti, that you worship Krishna and you'll become more beautiful. There's one so-called Buddhist group in Japan that they actually say like that. If you chant this mantra, you call it a skull expansion. You become more beautiful. It's a better your billboard labeled prosperity, apostle so-and-so will become hard, will become rich, and just for opportunity, giving big donations. One of our friends there, he said, I was Christian. He said, I'm not voluntarily, I was born in it. You know, I think I keep things from doing. He said, you go to the church and they pick your pockets. You know, if you leave with any money, then you're like a sinner. But they're promising you that you're going to give so much. And every religion does. So-called religion. So many people promise. I saw one of his incarnation center wanting to be a house arrest. He was singing, just worship me, I'll make you rich. Just, and they're just... And some of his followers are rich. And that's the proof that it works. I'll cure you from cancer. So we don't promise anything like that. If you're Krishna, I may take away it. If it's hindering your spiritual progress. If you can manage to use whatever you have for your service, you may give you more and more also. Some devotees, you know, the more they worship Krishna, their business gets better and better. Others, they lose it. Some people voluntarily give it up, seeing that it actually betters. Because people are really devoted. We have one fellow in Tokyo. His name is Jagannath Panda. You know, his great grandfather, someone was a head pujari and employee. And he's a businessman. But he says, I'm better than any pujari. I'm a businessman. I'm making money. You know, I'm not just waving. I'm better than all of them. And I saw him at the one festival. Oh yeah, this is so-and-so. He's also from a family of Brahmins. And now he's a businessman. He's making so much money. And he gives a little charity to the poor villages in India. Well, that's much better. No, it's not better. It's an intelligent person, like when I go to Chopati, I meet boys. Oh, Maharaj, you know, I'm quitting my job next week. I'm moving in the ashram. You know, I've been working for 2 years. I gave my business to my brother. I'm moving in the ashram. They know the value. They know what's really better. These things that, you know, if we're attached to our janma, sorry, shuti and shudra, then it's edamana mada. It's intoxicating. Just want more and more, but then it fades away. I remember when Elvis Presley departed, I was on Carmen Sacrifice. So when we would go to the supermarket, they have in America all these newspapers and magazines. The last, when you're standing in line, they destroy all these magazines. Elvis is dead, you know, everybody's gone, you know, the king is gone, and it's still remembered. But one of his friends said Elvis, he could not stand it that he was getting old and ugly. Old and ugly. That he might not be so popular. Couldn't tolerate it. It's going crazy. That's what happens. You know, if you think that this is it all in all, my beauty, my wealth, my, you know, it fades away. You can't do it. You know, my ultimately, you give up everything. So the Bhakti Kirtamarj, the last book he wrote, it was called Die Before You Die. While we were dying, but, you know, give it up. Give up your attachment. We can't really, Prabhupada said, you can't renounce anything because you don't have anything. It all belongs to Krishna. And the only thing you can renounce is the idea that it's mine. Janasya mahoyama amma meti. Right? It is mine. When I was going around the Puna, and there are all these signboards for the new apartments, you know, euphoria, beyond ecstasy. The tallest and most enviable tower. Give your apartment here, and you'll be God. Everyone will be envious of you, right? If you live here. If you have this car, everyone is going to bow down when you grab it. If you use this perfume, girls will attack you in the elevator. Right? They advertise. You know, if you walk down the street, every woman will just follow you down the road because of this deodorant. So they're crazy. So I was thinking after I, you know, everywhere I looked up with these big signboards with the new towers. Happiness, only Six Flags, only 39, special bargain, happiness, ecstasy. But, you know, the Bhagavatam says Kumsa Sriya Maitan Kumsa Sriya Maitan Bhagavatam. It says man and woman come together. And then, what is it? Hridaya Grantha Maho, the knot in the heart becomes very strong. The knot is what stops the flow of bhakti and makes you more and more attached to trying to enjoy them. Hridaya Grantha Maho. It's up Griya Kshetra. You have to get a house. It's the house that becomes. And family, and wealth, and bank account. And then Janasimo Oyam Mahamati, then you think it is I, it is mine. But that we have to give up. You can have a house, I mean you can have a palace. You can have a kingdom. If you understand that it all belongs to Krishna. It's all Krishna's mercy. I have to take care of this as a caretaker for Krishna. His children, his employees. Whatever it is, you can have. Right? Like Krishna Chandra Prabhu in Chopati, he's got like 17,000 employees. So many factors. But he doesn't think it's mine, I'm the controller, and there's nothing like me, you know, everybody better bow down to me. He's just humbly in the kirtan, and nobody would understand it. He's anybody but an artist. You know, Rukshawa or renounce. You didn't have to throw away everything. That type of renunciation, just living on the street, you know, that's not renunciation. You know, when I first joined the movement, you know, most of the devotees that were joining had scrambled their brains trying to get into various endeavors. And we'll go to the temple and hear about giving up everything, and they would move in the temple and give up everything. And then one devotee told me, I had a lot of money. What did you do with it? Well, I gave it to my brother. Was to give up everything. They didn't understand to give up Krishna. But they gave it up. Gave their car, gave whatever they had, moved into the ashram. You give it up. Better you give it to Krishna. Don't just give it up. Whatever you have, just understand it belongs to Krishna. It's given to me by Krishna. I don't, for whatever reason, whatever idea that I didn't do, I don't know why Krishna gives me anything. But use it to work on that. Understand that constantly thank Krishna for whatever we have or don't have, knowing that Krishna is, helping us to do whatever is best for us. Very simple. All right? Thank you very much. Any question or comment? Yeah. Is somebody? I'm cutting something down to this. This temple does a lot of prasadam distribution. Yeah, some of these temples are very good, You need a little more knowledge of Krishna as the Supreme Lord. But we want to also try to perform more prasadam distribution. focus, that irritable distribution is coming up more and more here in Singapore. That's very good. That's how we really, you know, educate people. Chinese people like the Bhagavad Gita. They're also souls. They're out. Right? You know, like some of us are conditioned, we think that, you know, the animals don't have souls, and some people, only white people have souls. In Africa, I was at one university, and was from Italy, so he knows the Catholic Church very well. So somebody said, well, the church teaches us that the animals don't have souls. You know, they're actually gods. The cow is a special gift of God for us to kill and eat. There's no soul there. And that's in Africa. So Kondeya said that the church also taught that black people don't have souls. And that's a fact. They're just made to be slaves. God made them that way. They won't be happy if they're not slaves. So they're meant to. Then people, that was, otherwise how could they do that? If you see some of the history of America, some people have slaves and they become part of the family and, you know, they're like servants like you have here, but many beat them, whip them, you know, just rape them, whatever they want. It's just animals. Of course, you shouldn't even keep an animal like that, but that was their idea. They put them in cages and auctioned them off, you know, just like an animal. You put chains around their heads, right? They don't have soul. They're black people, only white people. In the American Constitution, it says all men are created equal. And then a few lines down it says, please protect us from these savage red men. They're not, when they said men are created equal, they meant the white Christian people that came from Europe. Not the Native Americans. They're not men. They were savages. They're meant to take away everything from them. Actually, they have very advanced civilization, very organized. They've been living without harming the environment for thousands of years. You know, they had, there were some warrior type guys, but that's everywhere in the world. You know, that's the history of Europe. It's just one war after another. Everyone, every living entity is a spirit soul, like the same thing. The human's business, I saw one time when it was a Discovery Channel or something. They had some kind of show about the environment. So they were showing how this particular bird, you know, does something that supports this other thing. So many different things, how they are necessary in the balance. And it said, what are we here for? What are the humans for? But then they said, to protect all the other ones. But the danger is this misinterpretation of the Bible that says man has dominion over everything. To think that man is meant to just exploit everything and take what everyone wants. And this, God has given us this man. And that's what's made everything so bad. It's not what the Bible teaches. We're all part of the balance. And the humans being superior, they have the duty to protect everyone else. And Vaishnavas, being hopefully superior, have the duty to educate everyone. Give them something good. Whatever we can do and whatever capacity we have, give Krishna to whoever you have to deal with, one way or another. Okay, thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any questions? Everybody has three capacities. Special mercy.
words in
Jack the Ducker Manager, always quote Chandra Pandit, if you have a very good appetite every time the food comes, and it's a sign of extremely good karma. So sometimes you see, like, the homeless guy, he can eat anything. You know, right out of the ice cream in Japan, with the chopsticks and the head in the garbage can, eating. Bent over. They have so much. The saying is that hunger is the best spice. If you're really hungry, then everything tastes good. Anything will taste good. If you're not hungry, then nothing will taste good. Nothing will be attractive. If you're not hungry, then you just eat anything. Unless you're stupid that you just want to eat when you're not hungry, then it all rots. And here's that. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Singapore Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. Gaur Vrinda.
Maharaj Ki Jai.